Good to be together this morning in worship, and I look forward to sharing some stories and reading some scripture and getting some insight with you guys about what it means to be a child of God. Some of you know me, some of you don't. I'm Tony. I'm the minister of pastoral care here at First Baptist Nashville, which means I deal with people who are sick, people who are in the hospital, people who are in crisis, families that are in need, people who are in hospice, people who are in funerals. Whether you're 12 or 4 or 5 or 84, if you have a mental health issue, I'm the guy on staff that is here to help. The other ministers are too, but I'm the guy downstairs who wants to help. So if you ever need anything, you call me. AP wonderfully said what last Wednesday was. It seems that every day should be Mental Health Day. And Jason aptly prayed that we all struggle with something. So feel free to grab me after the fellowship on Broadway this morning. Call me during the week. Text me, and I'll be glad to get with you. Most of us have heard the phrase, wait until you see Daddy walk through the door. If you haven't, then you are a perfect child. It didn't happen to me. I heard that phrase several times from my mother. Here in my office, I have the privilege of talking to people who are struggling with parents and with family and sons and daughters. In fact, some of them come off the streets and have stories that you wouldn't believe. The other day, this Saturday, Pastor Frank called me and said, listen, I don't know what to do. We've got a guy here in the building who says his car is parked somewhere near the Titans Stadium, and overnight, he and his buddy got drunk, and his friend took his car keys and threw them in the Cumberland River. And he doesn't know what to do. Now, it's Saturday, and the last thing Pastor Frank needs to be doing is dealing with this. So I said, Frank, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Tell him to start walking toward his car. I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but how many side streets are close to the Titans Stadium? If you've ever been to the game there, you know you've walked past or on many of them. Fortunately, I drove there, and within 15 minutes, I found his car. It was a Pontiac, 2006 Pontiac Vibe, and it was red. And I tell you, when I saw the car on the street, I thought, that's amazing, one, that I found the car. And Frank told me, here's his description. It's a young guy, probably 21, a white guy with a white and black dog. Well, I saw him walking down Titans Boulevard. And I rolled down my window and said, hey, Keaton. He said, how did you know my name? I said, so far, you're the only white guy with a white and black dog I've seen walking. And my pastor says, you need help with your car. Long story short, got to his car. I called a guy who could get him in, get him a key made. And in the 25 minutes while we were waiting for him to get there and get the door open, he and I had a pretty strong conversation. He said he was from Wyoming and had left his mom and dad just to find out what life was like on the East Coast. He never got any farther than Nashville. He had a night before where he and his buddy got drunk. He had only met the guy here in Nashville and got drunk, and indeed, his buddy did throw the keys in the car. All night long, the police kept checking on him and said, listen, son, you're going to have to move your car by 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon or we'll tow it. So at 1:30, we were able to get his car moved. But here's what the police finally told him at 8:30 that morning. You need to go to the church on 6th and Broadway. They'll help you. He walked from the Titans Stadium to here and found Blake Owen and Pastor Frank, who are here for some odd reason, painting a room. Here's the significance for this room, and hear me very carefully. Forever, we have referred to ourselves as First Baptist Church Nashville at 7th and Broad. The policemen here in Nashville, Tennessee, have referred to this place as 6th and Broad. We need to remember that. We are 6th and 7th and Broad. And fellowship on Broadway is a big part of that. I hope that as you get involved in the life of this church, you'll be excited about the things that are happening so that policemen can tell a wayward 21-year-old about a place that cares for people. And I have to tell you, and some of you know me well, we spent also much of that 25 minutes talking about what a father would tell his son who left Wyoming with no money and who decided to drink with a friend who threw his keys in the Cumberland River. And as we talked, he said, you sound just like my father. Well, I didn't want to be too parental, but I did want to pass on the love that a father would have for a son, as well as tell him that this church loves you. I also talked to a man named Josh the other day. Josh's family was from Columbia, Tennessee, and he had gotten here and couldn't get home, and long story short, you don't need to hear the details, but he needed to get back home. And he said, my dad is going to kill me, but I need to get back there. Well, there is no Greyhound bus stop that stops in Columbia, or we would have bought him a Greyhound ticket. But I had to realize the only way for him to get back to Columbia, other than Uber, which is a pretty expensive Uber ride, was to get a taxi. So I went down to the Greyhound bus station and began to bid between four taxis. Lowest guy was going to win. And finally, Habib won, and I got the guy back to Columbia to be with his parents. I tell you that story as every one of us is seeking love from the Father, our Father. One last story. A man showed up here a while back. He was from Florida. Clearly had everything he ever owned in his car. Everything. And I said, what are you trying to go to? He said, well, from Tallahassee, and we're going to Louisville. He said, what's going on in Louisville? He said, my mom died. He gave me her name. He gave me her nickname, which is Beetle. And he told me what funeral home. Now, generally, when we get that information, that sounds pretty legitimate. So I said, meet me up at Exxon. I'll fill you up with gas, which is what we do as a church to help people. And I had this odd feeling. And most of the time, I'm pretty discerning, and I check it out before I send somebody to get gas. But they were on their way. I went to my office, checked my computer, and he indeed was right. His mother was at a certain funeral home in Louisville, Kentucky, and the obituary said her nickname was Beetle. The problem is she died 3 years ago. So I met him at Tiger Mart, and I got him gas and said, I got some good news and some bad news. The good news is your mom did die in Louisville, and her nickname is Beetle. The bad news is you're going to be really late to her funeral. He dropped his head and he said, how did you know? I said, just sometimes we check things out. But I had a conversation about the Father. Regardless of where we are, and you don't have to lie to the church, you don't have to lie to God. God already knows that it is fine to ask for help when you come to the Father and just be straight up and honest. So today we're going to look at a passage of scripture that reminds us that we are a child of the Father. We're going to be looking at 1 John 3. Verses 1 through 10, and I'm going to go back a little bit farther where Brandon left off last week and here in Fellowship on Broadway, and I want to start reading in verse 28 of second chapter of John, 1 John chapter 2. And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. So what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Look at how great a love from a Father is that we have. Enough that he calls us what? Children. I have a grandson and a granddaughter who come with me to church every Sunday. It is so neat to see how responsive children are to someone who loves them, like a father, a grandfather, a mother, a grandmother, Sunday school teacher, somebody here at church. So it's important for us to look at how great the Father loves us, but it's also important to look in the latter part of verse B, the second part of verse 1, and that is this. The reason why the world does not know us is because they did not know him. Whether it's Keaton walking to the Titans Stadium with a car he can't open, whether it is one of us who thinks we've influenced the world, it's so important to know that the world will not know us because they do not know him. So it's important for us to somehow teach the world who God is. And I know we use the word gospel sometimes too much in church, but this is the purpose behind why we do worship and why we do church. What we're going to look at in the next few minutes are three phrases that happen when we have confrontation or see our Father appear. So let me read verse 2 for us. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. So here's what we know. We know that when he appears, we will be what? Like him. I have three kids, and they're all athletic. Particularly my two sons played football and baseball, and particularly my two sons have both played baseball, which is my sport. And on my wall in my man cave, if you want to call it that, it's nothing more than a closet at my house, there's a picture of Caleb, who is, when he was 11, was catching for the Una Braves, and he is poised behind the plate, getting ready to receive a ball that's going to tag the guy out on a double play at the plate. The cool thing about that is the picture was taken, and my mother saw the picture, and she pulled out a picture of me doing the same thing when I was 10. Same pose, ready to catch the ball, ready to tag the guy out at the plate. It is so cool when we as fathers, when we can say, he is just like me. But the cool thing about the scripture, whether we are a father or whether our father is still alive or whatever, a mother or whatever relative helped raise you, it's important for us to know that we can be like him and will be like him when he appears to us. I also am a baseball card collector, and one of my favorite cards is a Nolan Ryan card that says, like father, like son. Now, when this picture was taken, his son did not play professional baseball yet, but he ended up doing that. But on the back, it talks about Nolan Ryan and the fact he had struck out six combinations of father-sons. Now, that's pretty incredible. I mean, he struck out two sets of the Alomars. He struck out Bobby Bonds and Barry Bonds. He struck out the Franconas. He struck out both Griffies. He struck out both Schofields, and he struck out both Maury and Bump Wills. Like father, like son. We are a child of God. This is not up for some paternity test. We don't have to wonder whether or not we are God's son. We're told that. In fact, I think fatherhood's pretty cool, but more importantly than fatherhood, it's what it's like to adopt as a father. Now, I'm curious, how many of you are adopted? How many? One? Two? Three, four. It's pretty cool to be adopted, isn't it? I used to do all the psychological evaluations for Bethany Healthcare, which provides adoptions here in Tennessee. And one of the things I would tell those couples who are adopting children is, this is the greatest thing that will ever happen to you. More importantly, and bigger than being a biological dad, is choosing the kid. That's what God did for us. He adopted us. Not because who I am. It was because of who I am. But not because I was good enough. No, he adopted me because of me. There's no one else like me. No one else like you. God has us as his child. I also like what verse 9 says. Look at that. It says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. God looks at us and says, you have my DNA. You are my child. So when we realize that we are God's child, it helps us understand our identity. Because if we are of God, then it tells us, here's how we should behave. Which leads me to the second part of the scripture I'm going to look at, verse 5. Let me read that. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. So God, our Father, is here to take away every sin. In other words, it's not that we're ever good enough. That's not why God became our Father. It's because we weren't good enough. We never will be good enough by the world's standards, but we can behave in such a way that the Father desires. Like a father, God will teach us five things. Quickly, here's what they are. The first is this. He will teach us what sin is. I don't know about you. Most of you got to spend time with your father if you were fortunate. And if you weren't, I'm not trying to say that your life wasn't good enough, but we all desire to be pursued by our father, whether he has or has not made an effort to do that in our life. But a father often will sit down with their children and say, here's what sin is. Throughout the scripture, God shows us what scriptures say about sin. Secondly, he says, here's what sin does. Now, I grew up in a minister's family, and I heard a lot about sin, and I went to a lot of church, but I don't know that I ever heard my earthly father say, here's what sin will do to you. Now, as a 56-year-old man, I'm staring at what sin does to you for the long haul. God also will teach us why sin is. We can't just accept the fact that sin is out there. It's here because of a reason, and it's important for us as Christians to understand why sin is. God the Father will also teach us where it's coming from, where sin is coming from. And then finally, he will talk to us about how sin is conquered. And one of the things I love about worship, in fact, I'm loving about the songs that Jason chose for today, is it is helping me understand who God my Father is as it relates to sin. So we have that comfort knowing that God our Father loves us so much that he wants us to understand sin and wants us to rescue sin. And we can feel a sense of relief because he appeared to take away our sin. Well, the third thing I want to show us is in verse 8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. When Jesus was born, and when God allowed him to take our sins away from us, he said, I have come to destroy the devil. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had a few times in my life where my dad showed up just at the right time, whether it was in the neighborhood and I was about to get in trouble, or whether it was at school and I was proud that my dad was going to be present, or if it was whatever. There is something about a kid being in the presence of their father and hearing a kid say, that's my daddy. It is so exciting to know that God showed up to destroy the devil. It's also important to know that sometimes our kids misbehave, or sometimes we misbehave to our Heavenly Father. Some of you know my oldest son, Drew, spent 6 years in the Marines. On one of his trips between Iraq, he was here in Nashville, and he called me about 1 o'clock in the morning, which is generally not a good sign. He said, Dad, I'm all right, but I've got some trouble going on down here in 2nd Avenue. I said, what's the trouble? He says, well, a guy ran a stop sign, and he's hit my truck. I said, well, call the police. He said, well, we have, but the guy's insisting that I hit him. I said, Drew, I'll be right there. So I got down under the man, got in my face, and he said, you won't believe what your son has done. He ran a red light, a stop sign. He's hit my car. I'm thinking, it doesn't look like he hit you. It looks like you hit him, but he was insistent. But he knew because Drew was young that he thought he could overwhelm Drew by being in his face and mistreating him. So I said to Drew, here's the deal. You need to get everything that's in your truck that does not need to be in your truck and you need to put it in my car. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes my oldest son has done things that have scared me. And he's done things that he shouldn't do. And there was a good chance there was something in his car that did not need, or his truck, that didn't need to be in his truck. So I said, while I'm talking to this man, I want you to get everything out of your truck and put it in my car. This man began to tell me, here's what your son did to me. And I said, do you realize my son is in the Marines? You know, it looks like you hit him. And he said, well, blah, blah, blah. He was really badgering me. And I said, the police are coming. They'll take care of this. He said, you bring on the police. I'll tell them what your son has done. All of a sudden, the man said, maybe you're right. Maybe I did hit your son. And I turned around, and Drew had a hunting rifle. The man said, so you're his daddy. I said, yes, and the police got there, and Drew said, I'm glad my dad showed up. That's what God does for us. When we blow it, when we do things that are wrong, he's present. But here's the deal. Our behaviors and our focus has to be different than it is as we live like the world does. Because of who God is and he came to defeat the devil, it's important that our behaviors and our focus be different than that of the world. So what happens is, and a lot of times we preach from this very scripture, and it talks about down in verse 9 and 10, about being righteous, sometimes we get righteousness and belief system, and we get righteousness and what God expects of us in wrong order. But our beliefs must come first. Our behaviors and our focus and our belief system must come first, and then righteousness happens. I don't have time to chase down what righteousness is, but the bottom line is, it's what God expects of us if we're going to be His children. Not are we just called children of God, but we are children of God. As a result of this passage, there are four words that kind of come to mind. One is the word comfort. Because God is our Father, we can be comforted. In the craziness and the chaos of the world, whether it's mental health issues, it's family relationships, it's finances, it's struggling with what church is about, it's important for us to recognize we can be comforted because of who God our Father is. We also know that we can have purity. Regardless of what your past is, from last night to the time you were 9 years old, because of who God our Father is, we can become and be pure people. We can also experience joy. It's not a word we explain a whole lot in church. It's more than just happiness. It's that complete sense of contentment that says, because of who God is, our Father, we have the chance to experience full happiness. We can also experience faithfulness. We can know that because God says He's our Father, He's going to always be what? Our Father. He will never leave us. Regardless of what our fathers and moms have done to us, He will never abandon us. We have faithfulness when it comes to that. You say, well, you've told us stories about your sons. How about your daughter? Well, sometimes my daughter hasn't given me many examples of stories because she's always been good. But yesterday, I really was thinking about getting a Chick-fil-A sandwich at the new Chick-fil-A at Knowlesville Road. Be careful there. It's dangerous because of the traffic. They didn't plan well. The parking lot's horrific. And the only parking that's available is across the parking lot. So I pulled in there yesterday thinking that I was going to go in and get a sandwich. And it's where my daughter used to take dance, Miss Kathy. Some of you took dance from Miss Kathy over in off Old Hickory in Knowlesville. And I pulled in the parking lot. She started yelling and screaming, "You can't park here. You can't park here. Chick-fil-A is running my business." And I rolled my window down. And I said, "Miss Kathy, it's okay. I'm Caitlin Rankin's father." She stopped. She goes, "Caitlin Rankin's father? When did she take dance from me?" I said, "Well, she's 27, so she hasn't taken dance from you in 16 years. She goes, she's the cute blonde with bangs. I said, "How did you remember?" I don't know how she remembered, but here's the conversation that took place. "I'm sorry I yelled at you, Mr. Rankin. I would have never yelled at Caitlin Rankin's father." We had a conversation about how her business had been destroyed literally by Chick-fil-A parking. And that's another issue that we'll address Monday when we reconnect. But here's the deal. Being a father makes a difference. Having a father who cares, our Heavenly Father, is the ultimate difference maker. I'm so glad that when my world pulls into the parking lot and everybody wants to start yelling and screaming, that I can say, "Hey, I'm Tony. My father's present. Be careful." Here's the deal. This is more than just my stories. We sang it earlier. What were those words? This is our story. This is our song. Praising my Savior. How long? All the day long. We are so lucky to have God as our Father for who you are and for who He is. Let's pray. Father God, help us as worshipers this morning in the Fellowship on Broadway to first of all thank You for being our Father. You're a good, good Father. It's who You are because of who we are. For all other things, Father, take this too. The fact You came And when you came, we could be like you. Thanks for giving us that chance. Thanks for coming to rescue us from sin. Thank you for coming and protecting us from the devil. So, Father, as worshipers, believers, and non-believers today, we ask that you give us the chance this week to understand what we do, what we believe in, and how our focus should be on you, because you are our Father. For your name we pray. Amen.